older half sister of Hazrat Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. She was married to Zubayr bin Al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. Al-Awwam bi tashdeed al-wawi la bi takhfifiha, who was from among the Ashara Mubashara, from among the 10 companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in one gathering. Al-Ashara al-Mubashara bil Jannah fi majlisin wahid. And they had 8 children, 5 sons and 3 daughters. And their sons were Abdullah, Urwa, Asim, Munzir, and Muhajir. Their 3 daughters were Fatima, Aisha, and Ummul Hasan. Their eldest son, Abdullah, he was the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And their son, Urwa, he was min kibari tabi'in, from among the senior and great tabi'in, one of the 4 fuqaha in Medina, and one of the 7 fuqaha in Medina, al-fuqaha al-sab'a fi al-Medina. The 7 fuqaha in Medina were Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, bi-kasri al-ya'i is better, Urwa bin Zubayr, Kharija bin Zayd, Abu Bakr bin Abdul Rahman, Sulaiman bin Yasar, and Ubaidullah bin Abdullah bin Utbah, and Al-Qasim bin Muhammad. And they were the 7 fuqaha in Medina. He was the student of his khala, Aisha radiallahu anha. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahimahullah says, لو جمع علم عائشة إلى علم جميع أمهات المؤمنين وعلم جميع النساء لكان علم عائشة أفضل وكان عروة بن الزبير راوية علمها. If the knowledge of أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها is assembled and gathered next to the knowledge of all of the أمهات المؤمنين and all of the women, and then most definitely the knowledge of Aisha radiallahu anha will be more, and it will outweigh the knowledge of everyone else. And Urwa bin Zubayr rahimahullah, her nephew, was the flag bearer of her knowledge. He narrates the most ahadith from his khala, Aisha radiallahu anha. He was an example for being very patient. After one of his children passed away, he said, O Allah, you have given me 7 children. You have taken away one of them, but you have kept 6 of them. You have kept more than you have taken. He said this after one of his legs was amputated due to a disease. He said, O Allah, you have given me 7 children. One of them you have taken away from me, and you have kept 6 of them alive. So you have kept more than you have taken, and you have given me 4 supports, my 2 legs and my 2 feet. You have taken away one leg, but you have kept 3 of my supports, one leg and 2 hands. You have kept more than you have taken. So he was an example for sabr, for being very patient. He was born in the 23rd year of Hijrah during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. Hence he was a tabi'i, and he passed away in the year 94 Hijri. This is the year that was dubbed Sanatul Fuqaha because of the great amount of ulama that passed away in this year. And he is buried in Medina Munawwara. Asma radiallahu anha, along with her husband Zubayr radiallahu anhu, they were among the early Muslims, min as-sabiqin al-awwalin. She was the 18th companion to accept Islam. Her kunya and patronym was Ummu Abdullah, the mother of Abdullah bin Zubayn, named after her elder son. And this was also the patronym of Aisha radiallahu anha. She used to treat her nephew like a son. Al-khalatu sinnu al-um, the khala, she is like the mother. Wal-ammu sinnu al-ab, and the chacha, he is like the father. And her laqab, and the title that was given to her is Dhatu al-Nitaqain. Dhatu al-Nitaqain. So how did she get this title? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu an were preparing to migrate to Medina Munawwara, she had prepared their belongings and their food. So after preparing their food and their water bag, she didn't have anything to close the utensil and the water bag. So she took her nitaq. Nitaq is the apron that women generally wear when they are cooking and doing other work. So she tore it into half. With one half of it, she used it as a lid to wrap up and cover the utensil of food. And with the other half of the apron, she used it as a lid to cover the mouth of the water bag. فَسُمِّيَتْ ذَاتَ النِّطَاقَيْنِ. Thus, this is the honor due to which she was given the title of Dhatu al-Nitaqain, the woman of two aprons. Her son, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma, his enemies, when they used to fight him in the battlefield, in order to make fun of him and shame him, they used to call him Yabna Dhati al-Nitaqain, O the son of the woman who possesses two aprons. So he once asked his mother, like, what is the reason that they call me this? So from this we learn the sincerity of the companions. Her own son did not know the title of honor of her mother, of his mother. So she said, Wallahi, I am the woman who was given the title of Dhatu al-Nitaqain. Wallahi, ana Dhatu al-Nitaqain. And the reason for this is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were migrating to Medina Munawwara, I had torn my apron into half. With one half of it, I covered the utensil of food, and with the other half, I used it as a lid to tie up the mouth of the water bag. So this is the honor due to which I was given the title of Dhatu al-Nitaqain. What to others is a slur is to us a title of honor. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu migrated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took all of his money with him, all 6,000 dirhams, thinking that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs, then I can spend it on him. Abu Quhafa, who was the grandfather of Asma radiallahu anha, she says that my grandfather, who at that time did not accept Islam and he had become blind, he came to me and he said that indeed your father and him accepting Islam, and this has caused a lot of harm to you, I mean to all of you, his children, both in terms of his wealth and himself. In terms of his wealth, because he didn't leave anything behind for you, he took all of his wealth. So he left and he took all of his wealth. In terms of yourself, now you don't have a father in the house. So she said, never. This is not the case. Rather, our father, he left behind a lot of money for us. So she went to the place where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to keep his money, and she put rocks there, and then she took a cloth and she covered it. Then she took the hand of her grandfather and she placed it on the cloth. And she said, look, our father left behind so much money for us. So Abu Quhafa, he accepted it because he was blind. Asma radiallahu anha says, wallahi, I did this only to give him some comfort. Otherwise, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not leave behind any wealth. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known for spending a lot on and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the famous incident of Tabuk is known, that he gave all of his wealth that was in his possession to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the path of Allah. The amount that he gave was not necessarily more than some of the other companions, but he gave all of his wealth. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what did you leave behind for your family? He said, Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one's wealth benefited me more than the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. I repaid everyone for the good that they did to me except for Abu Bakr radiallahu an. His reward is with Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah Ta'ala can repay him. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left for Medina, Asma radiallahu anha says, Abu Jahl and some of his men, they came to me and they asked me, where is your father? I said, wallahi, I have no clue. Abu Jahl, he raised his hand and he slapped me so hard that my earring fell. And then they left. 3 days had passed and we did not have any clue where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, when suddenly the voice of a jinn could be heard from on top of Makkah saying, Jazallahu rabbun nasi khayra jazaihi rafiqayni qala khaymati ummu ma'badi huma nazala bil badri thumma tarawaha فَأَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَمْسَى رَفِيقَ مُحَمَّدِهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the humans, reward with his best reward the two traveling companions who said, my resting place is the tent of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha. This was her kunya. Her name was Atikah bint Khalid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu an, they stopped to take some rest during Qaylula in her tent. So they both rested in this piece of land, ثُمَّ تَرَوَّحَ, and then they departed. Indeed, successful is he who became the traveling companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And this is the distinction and the virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Asma radiallahu anha was migrating to Medina Munawwara, she was pregnant with Abdullah. And during the time of delivery, she was staying in Quba. So this is where Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma was born. After he was born, she took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam put him in his lap and made dua for him and then did his tahniq. So the tahniq of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him Abdullah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to give adhan in his ears. He is regarded to be the first newborn born in Islam in Hijrah among the Muhajirin. Asma radiallahu anha was a very humble woman, very simple and very hardworking. She says that my husband Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he did not possess anything except for a camel for bringing water and his horse. So I used to take care of his horse, feed it, give it water to drink. I used to fill up the bucket with water. If the bucket needed to be fixed, I would fix it. I would carry the date pits from the land of Zubayr radiallahu anhu that was given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was approximately 2 miles away from our home, on my head. And then I would grind these date pits and feed it to his camel instead of grass. The most difficult for me was taking care of the horse. After some time, my father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sent one of his servants that was given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take care of the horse. She was an obedient daughter to her father, and she was very kind to her mother, despite her mother being a mushrika. So how is she the half-sister of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha? They have the same father but different mothers. The mother of Aisha radiallahu anha is Ummu Ruman radiallahu anha. She says that my mother, she once came to me with a lot of gifts, and she wanted me to maintain a relationship with her. But because she was not a believer, I said to her that I have to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and seek permission. I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, accept the gift and keep a good relationship with your mother. This is when the following ayah was revealed. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forbid you from being kind and equitable to those who did not fight you over religion, nor did they expel you from your homes. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are just. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If your parents strive to pressure you into committing shirk and ascribing partners with me regarding which you have no sound knowledge based on divine revelation, Allah Ta'ala has not revealed in any of his divine revelation that he has a sharik, then do not obey them. And in it is included every sinful act. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. So it is not permissible to obey any of the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it leads to the disobedience of the Creator. These are the only matters where you cannot obey your parents. However, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In the dunya, in this worldly life, keep company with them with kindness and be kind to them and treat them well. And them not being a believer does not give you the license to mistreat them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If we were to just take into consideration the mere fact that in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the command to worship Him, along with it, He mentions the command of being kind and treating one's parents well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins the command of being kind to one's parent with the command of worshipping him. If there was no other Quranic ayah or hadith nabawi mentioned regarding the importance of parents, this would have been sufficient. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not commit shirk with him. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And remember the time when we took a pledge that was strengthened by an oath from the Bani Israel. So this injunction is not exclusive to only one holy book. Rather, this instruction was revealed in all of the previous holy scriptures. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That you do not worship anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are extremely kind to your parents. وَأَحْسِنُوا بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed that you do not worship anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you are extremely kind to your parents and you treat them very well. Asma radiallahu anha was known for being very generous. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told her, O Asma, a'ti wa la tuki fayuki Allahu alayki. O Asma, give freely in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give sadaqah freely. Do not carefully measure and count. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carefully count and measure how much sustenance He gives to you. So give sadaqah and spend in the path of Allah freely. Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma says, I have not met anyone who is more generous than my mother. When my khala Aisha radiallahu anha passed away, she left in her inheritance a piece of land for her sister. So my mother inherited a property from my khala. Immediately she sold the land and she distributed the money among her relatives. Whenever Asma radiallahu anha would become sick, she would free all of her slaves. In another narration, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma says, I have not seen any woman more generous than my mother Asma and my khala Aisha radiallahu anhuma. However, the nature of their generosity was different. As for my khala Aisha radiallahu anha, she would collect little by little until she had a good amount to give in sadaqah, then she would give it in sadaqah. As for my mother Asma radiallahu anha, she would give in sadaqah whatever she had, even if it was a little, and she would not store it for even the next day. She would often advise her daughters and her family members to give in sadaqah. She used to say, give in sadaqah and do not wait to have extra money. Because if you wait to have extra money, then your needs will eventually increase, and then your expense will increase. So you will never have extra money. So then the opportunity and chance to give sadaqah will become more and more distant. And if you give in sadaqah whatever you have, you will never miss it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with something better. You will get a replacement for it in the dunya, and the reward for it in the akhirah is even greater. She was known for her generosity. She was also a very pious woman. and known to be very Allah-fearing. She would not accept in hadiyah, as a gift, any clothes that was thin and very revealing. Whenever she would have a headache, she would place her hand on her head and she would say, "Bidhanbi wa ma yaghfiru Allahu akthar." And this headache is because of my sins. And the amount of sins for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not punished me with a headache or with any other form of punishment is much more. Her piety and religiosity was so well known that the people would come to her and request for her du'as. Whenever any woman would have a fever, she would come to Asma radiallahu anha and she would request her to make du'a. And she would take some water and she would sprinkle the water on the chest of the woman, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-humma min fayhi jahannam." Fever is from the heat of the fire of Jahannam, thus make it cool with water. Whenever any of her family members would become sick, she would take the jubba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which came into her possession after the demise of Aisha radiallahu anha. She would wash it, and the water she would give it to drink to the sick person, and the sickness would be cured. She was a very honorable woman. She used to advise her son, "Ya bunayya, ish kariman wa mut kariman." O my beloved son, live with honor and die with honor. She was a woman who was known for her bravery and courage. Towards the end of her life, she had become blind. And this was when Sa'id ibn al-As was the governor of Medina. And there were a lot of thieves in Medina. So she took a dagger and she used to place it under her pillow. She was asked that, "What will you do with this dagger?" She said, "If anyone enters my house, then I will stab him in the stomach with this." Her son Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma most likely inherited his bravery and courage from his mother. And the famous incident with Umar radiallahu anhu and during his khilafah is well known. When Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu was passing by some children who were playing, immediately seeing Umar radiallahu anhu, they all ran away. Except for Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma, he remained standing. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, "Why did you not also run away with the other children?" He said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, lam ujrim fa'akhafuk, wa lam takuni at-tariqu dayiqatan fa'uwassi'u lak." O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have not committed any crime that I should be scared of you, nor is the road narrow that I should expand it for you. There is enough space for both of us to walk. Umar radiallahu anhu was amazed at the eloquency of this young boy, who was at that time only 8 or 10 years old, and at his bravery and courage. Asma radiallahu anha passed away in the year 73 Hijri, at the age of 100. Aside from becoming blind towards the end of her life, physically she was very healthy, to the extent that not a single teeth of hers fell, and her mind and intellect was still very sharp. She had a lot of love for her son, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma, who was hanged. She made dua to Allah Ta'ala, "O Allah, do not take me away from this world until I see the body of my son." She would often praise her son. She would say, "My son, he is obedient. He is an obedient son to his parents. He stays awake the whole night in prayer and he fasts throughout the day." Once she made dua for her son, and Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma was known for requesting the du'as of his mothers a lot. throughout his life, he would request his mother to make dua for him. Once she made the dua, "Oh Allah, have mercy on the long prayers that my son prays in the long nights, and the loud weeping that he does in front of you, and the extreme thirst that he experiences during the heat of noon in Mecca and Medina when he is fasting, and him being a obedient son to his father and me. Oh Allah, I have handed over him to your decree regarding him, and I am pleased with your decision. And thus reward me with regards to Abdullah, the reward of those who are patient and grateful." She made this dua, and after some time, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma was killed. He was hanged. When the body of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhuma was brought to his mother, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, in order to console her, said, "These physical bodies are nothing. What remains with Allah Ta'ala is the ruh, the souls." What does that mean? That means when a person dies, when the soul departs the body, it is the ruh, the soul, that is either muna'am or mu'adhab. So it is the soul that experiences the bounties of Jannah, or it experiences the punishment of the hellfire. Al-qabru rawdatun min riyadi al-jannah aw hufratun min hufari an-nar. And the grave is a garden from the gardens of paradise, or it is a pit from the pits of the hellfire. May Allah Ta'ala protect all of us. So your son, he is not in any pain. Thus, be patient. She said, "وَمَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنَ الصَّبْرِ وَقَدْ أُهْدِيَ رَأْسُ يَحْيَى بْنَ زَكَرِيَّا عَلَيْهِمَا السَّلَامِ إِلَى بَغِيٍّ مِنْ بَغَايَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ." What will prevent me from being patient when the head of Yahya bin Zakariya عَلَيْهِمَا السَّلَامِ, Yahya, a prophet of Allah, his father also a prophet of Allah, was given after he was assassinated and killed to an immoral woman from among the Bani Israel. Meaning, my son is not better than Yahya alayhi salam, and I am not better than Zakariya alayhi salam. I will remain patient. Asma radiallahu anha narrates 58 ahadith. Among the narrations that she narrates that comes in Bukhari, she says, "I saw Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail standing while leaning his back to the Kaaba, saying to the Quraysh, 'O Quraysh,'" so he was one of those people in the Jahiliyyah that used to save young girls from being buried alive by their fathers. So he said to them, if you intend to kill your daughter, don't kill her. Give her to me. I will take care of her." And then he would take care of these young girls until they became young. And then he would go to the father and say, "Now you can take care of her if you want. And if you feel that she is a burden for you, I will keep her and I will take care of her so long as she lives." He was among the muwahideen in the Jahiliyyah, those who believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to refuse to eat the meat that was slaughtered in the name of the idols. He would say, "I only eat the meat upon which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been taken." And he used to criticize the Quraysh for their practice of slaughtering the animals in the name of their idols. He used to say, "This sheep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, and He sent down for it from the sky rain, and He caused the grass that you use to feed it and it grazes on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that caused it to grow from the ground. And then you go and you sacrifice it in the name of the idols, and thus denying the immense favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. He was the father of Zayd bin Sa'id radiallahu an, who was also among the al-ashara al-mubashara bil jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed barakah in the progeny of Asma radiallahu anha. Her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren narrate hadith from her. Her sons Abdullah and Urwa, her grandson Abdullah bin Urwa, her granddaughter Fatima bintul Munzir bin Az-Zubayr, her great-grandson Abbad bin Hamza bin Abdullah bin Zubayr, her grandson's grandson Abbad bin Abdullah, they all narrate hadith from her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her and all of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to inculcate all of the beautiful qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in and the Sahabiyat radiallahu anhunna ajma'in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take them as our role models, so that we may be successful in the dunya and akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.